From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Before there was a Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, there was a Monday, September 10th. It's been said the nation was changed by what took place that Tuesday a decade ago, and that's certainly true of many individual Americans. A look now at that moment before America was interrupted.
Everything was normal the day before.
It was a very normal sort of day. And
on September 10th, it was an ordinary day. I was going into the office.
Same stuff, you know. No,
it was like a normal day
the day before.
A normal day.
This was a normal day.
It was just a normal day that we do every
Basically,
day.
Basically, it was your normal summer day in Western Pennsylvania.
I'm Janet Vincent. I'm the rector of St. Columba's Episcopal Church in Northwest Washington, D.C. And on September 10th, 2001, I was in White Plains, New York, waiting to get to my parish office there at Grace Church. It was a hot and humid day, and that evening I had tickets for the Yankees-Red Sox game. And it was the first time I was taking my five-year-old nephew to his first Yankee-Red Sox game. We got down to the stadium, and thunderstorms had begun, and they did call the game. And as we were leaving the stadium, I remember my nephew taking my hand and looking at me and saying, "I don't understand. What does this mean?" And as the week went on, that awful week, his words just haunted me. What does it mean?
After September 10th, Pastor Janet Vincent conducted numerous special worship services. No one from her parish died in the terror attack, but many grieved for colleagues from New York's financial district.
My name is Janie Scott. On Monday, September 10th, 2001, I was a reporter on the Metropolitan News staff of the New York Times. I was also the wife of a local TV anchor and the mother of two small children living on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I'd been working for a few months on an ongoing series of articles based on data from the 2000 census. After work, I picked up my 9-year-old daughter at her piano lesson and took her home for dinner. She was fascinated in those days by surgical paraphernalia, bandages, splints, crutches, that kind of thing. So we'd celebrated her 9th birthday with a party 2 days earlier, laying on a large inventory of medical and surgical supplies and hiring an emergency medical technician with access to an ambulance to teach basic first aid to a couple dozen third graders in our living room. The grand finale had been a tour of the ambulance, which was parked at the corner of 90th and Broadway. Everyone in their bandages got to try out the stretcher. At the time, it had seemed like an inspired idea.
Janie Scott put aside her ongoing project for the New York Times and started writing about the people who died in the attacks. That project was continued by her and others for the next year. It was called Portraits of Grief.
My name is Karen Parzian. I'm a marketing consultant and publicist, and I own my own public relations agency in Hoboken, New Jersey. And on September 10th, 2001, I was planning a very big and important business trip to the World Trade Center for September the 11th. And the plan was to meet in a building actually right across the street from the World Trade Center. And my partner said to me, "What time?" And I said, "Oh, you know, let's just make it at 9 o'clock.
But Karen Parsiao's client never called back. Her appointment at the World Trade Center on September 11th never took place.
My name is Matt Long, and I was a New York City fireman for 17 years. And on September 10th, 2001... I was headed to Ladder 43 for the 6 o'clock by 9 o'clock shift. When I arrived at my firehouse, realized that we were missing two men in our roster. We were short, riding short, as they say, and that two other firefighters would be detailed from a Midtown firehouse. I knew my brother Jim was working, so I called him up and said, "You know, we're missing a guy. We're down a guy here in Ladder 43. Why don't you try to make your way up and, you know, get that detail?" So we'd work together, because it's very rare that brothers get to work on the same truck or engine in the fire department. So he did. Him and another fellow firefighter named Rob Curatola were detailed up to my firehouse for the night. and it wound up being a little uneventful as far as fire duty in Spanish Harlem. And that morning, my brother had let Rob leave first, and he said he'll stick around and have breakfast with me. Rob made his journey back to 67th Street Firehouse. That's when the events of 9/11 started to unfold. I guess he beat my brother back to his house by about 15-20 minutes, and Rob was on the first truck down to the Trade Center, and Rob, unfortunately, paid the ultimate sacrifice that day.
Matt Long marvels that his brother survived because he stayed for breakfast that day. Matt Long is now retired from firefighting. His brother Jim still works for the New York City Fire Department.
My name is Alan Wallace. My employer was the Fire Department Fort Myer in Arlington, Virginia. On September 10, I was one of three firefighters assigned to the Pentagon Heliport Fire Station. The fire station is located on the west side of the Pentagon. September 10, we had a little excitement that morning. President Bush is coming over to the Pentagon by way of motorcade. His plan was to get on the helicopter there at the Pentagon heliport. The helicopter, Marine One, would take him over to Andrews Air Force Base. He would get on the Air Force One, and the airplane would fly to Orlando, Florida.
And the next day, firefighter Alan Wallace was stationed again at the Pentagon. Early in his shift, that September 11th, he caught a sudden glint of light in the sky. It was a jetliner coming in at full speed at ground level. It passed over his head. Alan Wallace says when he spun around, there was no airplane to be seen, just a burning hole in the side of the Pentagon. Today, Wallace is retired and living in Ohio.
This is Laura Bush, and this is what I was doing on September 10, 2001. I had a luncheon for Jeanette Howard, the Prime Minister of Australia, John Howard's wife. That afternoon, I worked on the briefing that I was going to give the Senate Education Committee the next morning. And then my in-laws, President Bush and Barbara, arrived late in the afternoon. They were spending the night with us that night.
The next day, Laura Bush would have to wait for her husband to return from Florida. The president's plane was diverted first to an Air Force base in Louisiana.
My name is Ted Olson. On September 10, 2001, I was Solicitor General of the United States. That day, I worked in my office. I had spoken at some length with my wife, Barbara. It was my birthday, September 11, and she wanted to be home with me that evening, September 10, and so she changed a flight that would otherwise have called for her to leave for Los Angeles, where she was planning on doing some television interviews, Bill Maher, I think, and she rearranged her schedule to leave the following morning rather than the evening of September 10th.
Barbara Olson was a passenger aboard Flight 77 that was flown into the Pentagon. Today, Ted Olson is in private law practice in Washington, D.C.
My name is Rick King. I live here in Shanksville. I'm the owner of Ida's Store on Main Street. I've had the store for about 15 and a half years. I've lived in Shanksville pretty much all my life. Yeah, September 10th, the kids were in school, so I opened the store. So I would have been down here probably about, at that time, probably around 6:30. First employee comes in around 8.
As the assistant fire chief in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, Rick King was one of the first responders on September 11th to the crash of Flight 93. It's said in Shanksville that if the plane had remained airborne for just 2 more seconds, it would have hit the local elementary school.
My name is Rob Quillen. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. On the morning of September 10th, 2001, I was a software salesperson, and I was heading to New York City for an annual sales meeting that started on the 11th of September. Everybody got on the plane, and a gentleman came and stopped in my row, was putting some stuff in the overhead compartment. Before he even sat down, he asked me if I worked for NASCAR superstar Jeff Gordon. And I thought, well, that's a really, really odd question to be asking. And then I remembered I was wearing jeans and a NASCAR shirt. And so once I put this together, I said, no, I said, I'm just a very big fan of the guy. And he said, man, my son and I are huge fans. He told me pretty late in the flight that his 15-year-old son has epilepsy. The morning of September 10th, while he was packing to get on the plane that he and I were now on, he called his son up to his room and he said, "Matt," he said, "I know I've been traveling a lot." He said, "I'm going to be back in a couple weeks." He said, "But I want you to think of a place where you want to go. It's time for you and I to go." He goes, "I want you to tell me where you want to go as if your life were to end tomorrow." He said, "Dad, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to go to a NASCAR race and I want to meet Jeff Gordon." And I had a couple extra tickets for the first NASCAR race at the Kansas Speedway down in Kansas City. So I offered the two tickets to him. Obviously, I didn't have the tickets with me. We exchanged business cards. He hands me a United Airlines business card. And the card says, "Captain Jason Dahl." And I said, "You're a pilot?" He said, "Yeah." He said, I'm just deadheading out to New Jersey. I've got the New Jersey to San Francisco flight the next morning, the first flight out, the 8 o'clock flight."
Captain Jason Dahl never got to take his son to that NASCAR event. The next morning, Dahl piloted United Flight 93, the one that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Dahl's son, Matt, did get to see his race car hero, though, in Kansas City. Rob Quillen made sure of that.
September 10th, 2001, I was just...
On September the 10th, 2001...
On September 10th, 2001...
September 10th, 2001, I was sitting in Ravenna therapy with my son.
One day I was working the overnight shift from the overnight shift of Walmart here at Somerset.
On September 10th, 2001, I was flying on a...
On September 10th, my students were working on timelines of their life.
On September 10th, 2001, we were on the eve of releasing a new album. We actually played...
September 10th, 2001, I was living close to the Hudson River, and I... ran every morning down to the World Trade Center and back.
On September 10th, 2001,
I was visiting my friend from law school who was in Baylor Hospital and was dying of pain.
September the 10th, 2001, I flew to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Was a normal day.
Those stories about the day before September 11th were collected and produced by NPR's Art Silverman. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.